A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking about an infringement that the Supreme Court will let stand, at least for a little while longer, with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. Here in just a moment or two, the Supreme Court's order list came out on Monday morning, as it normally does after a Thursday conference. And once again, no word from the court on what it plans to do with Snope versus Brown. That is the case dealing with Maryland's ban on so-called assault weapons. No word from the court on what it plans to do with Ocean State Tactical versus Nerona, which is the challenge to Rhode Island's ban on large capacity, quote unquote, magazines. That, by the way, a case that has not yet been fully decided by the lower courts. So, you know, I think when we look at these two cases, clearly they're tied together for some reason in the court's eyes. And maybe it's because one deals with a gun ban, the other deals with a magazine ban. But there are some differences between the two cases, and not just different appellate courts handling these issues. Snope has been fully briefed, fully decided on the merits. You've had a en banc panel of the Fourth Circuit that intervened and took the case before a three-judge panel on the Fourth Circuit actually had the chance to weigh in. And Nerona, Ocean State Tactical versus Nerona is what's called an interlocutory appeal at this point. That case has not yet been fully decided. The request is dealing with a temporary injunction that was not granted, and the plaintiffs are asking the Supreme Court to find some relief. So you got those two cases that are still kicking around for whatever reason, but the Supreme Court did address another case that actually was just heard in comments for the first time last Thursday. This is Antonyuk versus James. This is one of the post-Bruin challenges to New York's Concealed Carry Improvement Act, the deceptively named piece of legislation that was New York's Bruin response bill. It did not improve the process of obtaining a concealed carry permit in the state of New York, nor did it improve where New Yorkers can carry in lawful self-defense. As a matter of fact, applied many, many more new gun-free zones to the state. But those gun-free zones were not at the heart of the Antonyuk challenge, at least this particular case. They are being challenged in litigation. But ultimately, what the plaintiffs were asking for specifically was whether or not New York's good moral character requirement comports with Bruin, or whether that, too, is as subjective as the justifiable need requirement was that was struck down in Bruin, and the Supreme Court turning away Antonyuk versus James. Another interlocutory appeal, by the way. This case could come back up before the Supreme Court, but what does this tell us, if anything, about what the Supreme Court might do with the gun and magazine ban cases? Well, we're going to talk about it with Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. We love our Mondays with Mark here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company, so take a look and a listen. Well, good Monday morning to you, Mark. Thanks very much for coming on the program today.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure on a Monday, brother.
Absolutely. All right. So we actually do have some news from the Supreme Court this morning. Not on what we've been talking about for the past couple of months, Snope and Ocean State Tactical. I guess the news is that there was no news, not included in Monday morning's orders. So presumably they're going to get relisted for this week's conference once again. But a case that was heard in conference for the first time last Thursday, the court did address, unfortunately, not the way we would have wanted. This was Antonyuk versus James, and the court denying cert to that case this morning, Mark. This was a challenge to specifically the good moral character requirement that New York is imposing on concealed carry applicants post-Bruin. There was also a question about, okay, so what time period do we look at here when it comes to, you know, determining whether a law comports with the national tradition of gun ownership? Is it 1791? Is it 1868 when the 14th Amendment was ratified and presumably the Second Amendment started applying to the states? That's a question that the court has addressed on a couple of occasions, but they have declined to get specific. And this was, I think, sort of an effort to force their hand. And the court instead just decided, nah, we're not going to hear this case for now. It's important to know that this is what's called an interlocutory appeal. So Antonyuk has not been fully briefed and decided on the merits. So the Supreme Court will, I guess, have another chance to address this in the future. But it would have been nice to get that clarification now, Mark.
It would always be nice to get clarification from the court. But, and I do want to go back to Snopes, too, because we're in record territory with that conference, by the way, now moving into conference number 11. But on this James case, you know, the court has been reluctant to move on a lot of cases in the post-Bruin environment, right? They upheld the licensing scheme, if you will, in the states in Bruin. And I don't know, again, we don't know why the court makes the decisions they make, but I just don't think they've looked at this and seen enough of a buildup to this. This was the first case of its kind on the quote unquote moral character. And it's an interlocutory, as you said, it's likely going to be heard again. But I think what the court might be doing here, again, it's just a guess, is looking to see other cases pop up. Maybe look for some circuit splits in this down the road, which might not ever happen, because the only one or two states I'm aware of, and I believe it might be, you correct me if I'm wrong, with a quote unquote moral character is New York, I think is the only one that has that clause in their licensing regime. I don't know if I'm right on that or not.
You might be right in terms of like that specific phrasing. Yeah, I know, for instance, in New Jersey, you have to provide four character references, which would, again, that to me is a good moral character requirement, right? California, I think you might also have to provide character references. But as you say, so there are a couple of issues there, right? The Supreme Court likes to act when there's conflict between the circuits.
Correct.
So in New York, you've got the Second Circuit. New Jersey is controlled by the Third Circuit. California is controlled by the Ninth Circuit. If all of those circuit courts come out and say, yeah, there's no issue here, that I think does cut down on the likelihood of the court addressing this. That's one of the concerns about going back to Snope, right? Is that we have not had an appellate court come out and say what is blindingly obvious, that yes, AR-15s and other semi-automatic rifles are protected by the Second Amendment because they're in common use for lawful purposes. The courts instead have, you know, the Fourth Circuit said, well, it's unusually dangerous, these guns are, and they're like machine guns. We've seen the Seventh Circuit echo that. Ninth Circuit has echoed that. I happen to think that the issue of a ban on an entire class of firearms is important enough that even without a circuit split, the Supreme Court, knock on wood, needs to deal with that. I won't say it's likely, but they need to deal with that. This, as you say, is a little bit different animal. These are laws that are pretty rare across the country. And as you say, these legal challenges, the good moral character requirement really wasn't an issue until after Bruin. So that we're really talking about relatively new laws, right? Or at least laws that have been enforced for just a few years. And so I think you're right that the Supreme Court may just be letting that particular issue percolate a little bit, particularly until the trial record is concluded in Antonyuk. But going back to Snope, I mean, as you say, we are now in record-setting territory. And it's interesting, if you want to read the tea leaves, we didn't get a written denial or a written dissent from denial in Antonyuk from Justice Thomas, who wrote the majority opinion in Bruin. Didn't get anything from Alito or Justice Gorsuch, who have all weighed in the past with written dissents from denial of other Second Amendment cases. Costas Moros, a Second Amendment attorney out in California with Michelin Associates, said, and he said, this is cope on his part, but he said that he is hopeful that maybe we didn't get a written denial or a written dissent from denial from Thomas because he knows that Snope is going to be accepted. I would love for that to be the case, but it is certainly interesting that we didn't hear anything from these justices about Antonyuk while we still have Snope and Ocean State Tactical floating around out there.
Let's go to Snopes for a second, because let's go to that record territory. Let's read the tea leaves here for fun, okay? You and I have done that over the last few weeks as we've talked. And we talked last week about our It's Emotional Ride. You know, what are they going to do? It's now six times. It's now seven times. It's eight times. You begin to get a little flustered. Maybe you want to start moving your bets around the table, right? If red's not coming up and black is and you're on red all the time, maybe it's time. I'm going to tell you, Ron, I'm just going to give you my personal opinion on this right now. I believe the court at this point, I believe it's a done deal. They're going to take the case. I think the court knows they're going to take the case because they know that. They have other issues. They're busy. I just don't think they've gotten to it yet, quite frankly. I just don't think they've gotten to this yet. They know it's there. It's not on their front burner. They'll take it when they're ready. That's why they keep pushing it off. It would make sense to do that. Now, Gottlieb mentioned something that was interesting to me last night on Armed American Radio. He said, I don't disagree with that. However, I want to throw out, there's a possibility the court could be waiting for another case to come before them seeking cert. Now, we could look at the Third Circuit. We could look at the Fourth Circuit. We could look at the Second Circuit, Seventh Circuit, Ninth Circuit. There's cases out there. I'm not going to buy that one because this case checks all the boxes. The only reason I think they would do that is if it would strengthen, if those in the majority believe that one of these other cases might strengthen their ruling in Snopes, because we know, and Gottlieb is confident, I think you are, that if the court takes the case, we're going to win the case. And he went as far as saying, hands down. That's a pretty bold prediction from Mr. Gottlieb. But any of us who follow this feel the same way. We know they're going to take it. We know we're going to win it if they take it. I shouldn't say we know they're going to take it because they haven't yet. But we know if they do, we're going to win the case. Is there another case out there that would actually strengthen this? So I'm not sure. This case, as we've talked about, checks all the boxes. Here we are in record territory. This is the 11th conference this case is going to see. And I can't think of, maybe you can, but I can't think of any other case that has gone this distance. And that's what leads me to believe they're just busy. And I just don't think they've gotten to it yet. It's just not that high on their priority because they know it's there. When they're ready, they'll take it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I mean, I think Heller was 5 conferences. And that seemed like an awfully long time, right? You know, to Alan's point about maybe there are other cases out there. So, again, we talk about those interlocutory appeals. Ocean State Tactical is another one of those cases. It has not been fully decided on the merits yet. In fact, I don't even think it's been decided at the district court level on the merits. Maybe it has, and it's up before the appellate court. But
I don't think it has. I'm not aware that it has.
Okay. Because I know that the cert petition was actually about a request for an injunction in that magazine ban case. So, the only thing that I could think of, you've got Duncan, which is California's magazine ban case. Ninth Circuit just issued its final determination in that case. It'll be appealed to the Supreme Court probably in the next couple of weeks. And the state of California would have another month to reply. Then the plaintiffs would have another, I think, 2 or 3 weeks to reply to that. If the Supreme Court's waiting for that, like let's say they want to take a gun and magazine ban case at the same time. Snope and Duncan, if they want to pair those, then okay, that might explain why they're holding on to Snope. But they're also going to be holding on to Snope for a lot longer, right? Because it could honestly be, based on the timing, I mean, it's going to be really close to the end of the court session before Duncan gets considered in conference, if it gets considered at all before the summer recess, right? It could be, just based on the timing, that it's not going to be considered until the fall. Then with the oral arguments to be held in the spring of 2026, so you'd be talking about holding on to Snope for, you know, another couple of months.
I don't see that happening. Again, I'm trying to read the tea leaves here.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I don't believe the Duncan case really is going to strengthen anything in Snopes. Now, Snopes has already been ruled on the merits by the entire Fourth Circuit.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. The merits of the case have been heard. They're not waiting for this to go back to rule on the merits and then issue a constitutional decision at the Supreme Court level. It's already been decided on the merits by the entire fourth. And I don't know, again, guys, this is just, it's just personal opinion. I could be way off base, all right? I want to see the case taken. I want to see it taken yesterday. But at this point, I'm actually having fun watching it ride out every Monday and looking down and seeing no denial.
Right.
At this stage, when you're looking at 11 conferences and you're not seeing a denial, to me, that tells me I think we're on pretty good footing. There's clearly a reason. They're either busy or they're looking for something else, like Alan suggested.
Yeah.
We will, unfortunately, well, I'll tell you, we will eventually know if it's another case, if the Ninth Circuit comes out months down the road seeking cert through all the legal process we have to go through, that it says, as you said, extend Snopes out another 3 or 4 months. We'll know if they combine it that was what they did. But if they don't and they grant cert, we'll never know. I'm going to stand by. I'll put my money on that red at that point, that they were just busy. This case was an open and shut deal. We'll get to it when we have time. We have other pressing issues that we want to look at. Because when you look at the court's docket, when you look at on Monday mornings, you see 2 or 3 grants of cert, and you see a dozen denials. Okay, they take very small percentage of their cases, as you know, less than 1%.
Right.
This has been decided on the merits. And that's been what Thomas talked about after the Bruin decision. Let the lower courts decide this based on our decision in a post-Bruin environment, then we'll take it up. Bruin is only 3 years old come June, brother.
I know.
In the scheme of time, it's not been long at all, okay?
Absolutely.
So we said we want it, but we got to wait it out, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, we had Heller in 2008, you had McDonald in 2010, but McDonald was a natural follow-up to the Heller case, right? Because you had to get there, you had to apply the Second Amendment's protections to state laws, too. Then it was a 6-year gap between McDonald and Cattano, which was a per curiam opinion about stun guns. And then 2022, as you say, it was another 6 years between Cattano and Bruin, a full 12 years, if you don't count that per curiam opinion. That's a long time between Second Amendment cases. So you're right. The fact that we're now approaching 3 years, and I guess, you know, you could say, look, you had Rahimi, right? That's a Second Amendment case. It's not like the court has delayed these things. You still have Range versus Garland, some other cases that are still percolating out there that don't deal with, you know, gun bans or things of that nature. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, the court moves on court time. We have known, I think, for at least 2 years that these interlocutory appeals are going to face a big challenge of the Supreme Court. They're just, they, as you say, they want the lower courts to fight it out. And fully adjudicate these cases before they step in.
Well, they have to. They have to let the lower courts do this. They've got to see what the precedent that they set looks like in the lower courts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's frustrating for all of us, particularly with a case like this that we know should be open and shut.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, to your point with Snow, but again, we are just reading the tea leaves here. The fact that Antonick was heard in one conference, boom, they come out with a denial. And Snope and Ocean State Tactical still hanging around. If there was going to be that quick denial, if there was going to be even a denial with a written dissent,
would have happened.
I think we would have seen it before now. I do. I'm actually feeling better about the court taking Snope after they rejected Antonyuk, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense. I agree with that assessment. Again, it's frustrating, but we have to let it play. We just have to let this play out. And let's be honest, it's great fodder for discussion on shows like this and Armed American Radio and Gun Talk with Gresham and everybody else, the YouTubers, the whole nine yards. It's going to be fascinating when this happens, because even though we won't get all the answers, I think we'll be able to read the tea leaves a little bit clearer than we are now based on the timing. Clearly, if they merge another case, we'll know. If they don't, we never will, but we'll be able to make a decision. And if that's the case, if that were to happen after 14 or 15 conferences, I'm going to bet my bottom dollar that this was just a timing issue.
And it may be. It may be. They may be waiting to the point where they would schedule oral arguments in Snope late enough that they could attach Duncan and, you know, hear that either at the same time or shortly thereafter. So, as you say, the waiting game continues, Mark, but, cautious optimism here. I appreciate you coming on the program. Sir, what do you have coming up this week on Armed American Radio?
Oh, man, well, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about Cory Booker again, just because it's so fun with his staffer being arrested, him trying to skirt the security. Okay for me, not for thee. Mainstream media, as you know, the ABCs and NBCs, so we can all see BS over at CNN, LOL, and MSDNC, have just ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
But it speaks volumes of how these people operate. Giffords has been out there running their mouths. They've all been they've been quiet about this, but they're all over any potential cuts to the ATF and merging with the DEA. So that's always fun to watch. And we were able to draw a conclusion last night on Armed American Radio that, you know, these people wake up. They go to bed liars. They wake up liars. And that's proven by what they choose to talk about, what they choose not to talk about. It proves the point that they're literally lying about everything. Or they would bring it up and talk about it if there were certainly a case for it. But it proves their agenda out. So we'll be focusing a lot on that and whatever other current events pop up during the week. And they always hand us something on a platter, as you know.
Right, absolutely. Well, listen, man, I really appreciate you hanging out with us today. And I look forward to doing this again very soon, maybe next Monday. You never know.
Thank you, Cam. I appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
You too, Mark. Thanks. Thanks once again for joining us on the program, and looking forward to hopefully being on Mark's show, the big Sunday show coming up this Sunday. And yeah, we'll probably have Mark on next Monday as well, talking about what, if anything, the Supreme Court does with Snope and Ocean State Tactical. All right, moving on now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. Let's start there with a case out of Houston, Texas, where a suspect who killed his girlfriend before taking his own life, as it turns out, was out on bond for a 2019 murder. Now, I gotta say, generally speaking, it's not murder is one of those charges that typically, if you are released on bond, it's a very, very high bond. But you're also, it's not unusual to have murder suspects held without bond because they are in seen by the court as a danger to the threat and the community. What makes this even more disturbing is that the man who took his own life after killing his girlfriend just a couple of days ago wasn't waiting trial for murder. He had already pleaded guilty to this 2019 homicide in December of last year. Austin Collette is this man's name. He was out on $250,000 bond after pleading guilty to the murder of a man named Thomas Simmons. And according to Fox 26 in Houston, Collette had violated his bond conditions several times. Now, according to Fox 26, Collette had been charged with murdering Simmons back on November 14th, 2019, at a motel. Apparently, Simmons had agreed to show up at the motel in order to make a drug deal. He got into a physical altercation with Collette and another suspect before getting inside Collette's vehicle. It then appears that he was shot several times and was pronounced dead at the scene. Collette is expected to appear back in court on April 21st, I guess, for sentencing. Andy Kahan of Crime Stoppers of Houston is perplexed by this too. He says this court knowingly allowed him to be on probation in another county for a charge of possession of fraudulent information while he was on bond for murder. And then the court allowed him to plead guilty to murder and still allowed him to remain on bond, even though he was already on probation. He said he can't script this insanity. He said he pled guilty to murder. He should have been taken into custody because you're already still on probation awaiting sentencing. He had multiple curfew, multiple ankle monitor violations, but he still was not in custody. And Kahan says that decision obviously cost this young lady her life. Houston Police Department were called to the scene, again, just a few days ago after receiving a 911 call stating that a man had just killed his girlfriend. They found a 21-year-old woman dead there at the scene. Collette also found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The woman has not been identified at this time. But again, the man responsible should have been in prison. At least should have been in jail awaiting sentencing. I honestly, I'm not sure I've ever heard of somebody pleading guilty to murder and being allowed to remain out on bond for a period of months now. He pled guilty in December of last year. It is, I mean, pretty close to mid-April. So what on earth was happening here that this guy pled guilty to murder, violated the terms of his probation, and was still out on bond rather than being in custody? I mean, this is not... This is, frankly, this is not a minor blip of a news story. The chain of events that led to the death of this 21-year-old woman and the officials who allowed it to happen, this is a major scandal. And honestly, heads should roll. People should lose their jobs over what happened here in Harris County, Texas. Today's Armed Citizen story, over the weekend, I guess this was Friday night, a man wounded in what police are describing a self-defense shooting at a hotel in Wichita, Kansas. According to the, let's see, this is from a KSNW in Wichita. It was about 9:07 Friday night. Police officers dispatched to a report of a shooting at a hotel. When they arrived on scene, they found a 32-year-old man suffering from a gunshot wound who was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment. According to investigators, the incident actually started several hours earlier, around 6:30 in the evening, when the man allegedly threatened his girlfriend with a knife and then stole property from her. The woman suffered minor injuries during that confrontation, but she didn't call police at the time. Then later that evening, so the guy left. Apparently, he shows back up at the hotel later that evening. Once again, he's threatening the woman. This time, he's also threatening hotel staff with a knife. And in response, police say the woman shot the man once in what police determined was an act of self-defense. The woman cooperated fully with police. She was interviewed by detectives before she was released. Authorities say the male suspect will be arrested and face charges once he is released from the hospital. They say that the case remains under investigation. Again, that's all of the details that we have at the moment. I'm glad that she is safe and sound. Glad that hotel staff safe and sound as well. Maybe this could have been avoided had she contacted police earlier. I don't know. But sounds like he is going to have plenty of opportunities to think about what went wrong while he is cooling his jets in hospital and then there in the local jail. Finally, today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A good Samaritan in the state of Florida who helped save several individuals from a near drowning on Singer Island over the weekend. Fernando Carrera was on vacation with his family when he heard the sound of a swimmer struggling. This was Saturday about 6 o'clock in the evening. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office says it happened near Ocean Reef Park. Carrera is from Greenville, South Carolina. He's there walking along the shore with his family. He hears screaming, and he notices somebody struggling there in the waves, and he said without hesitation, he jumped into the water. He said, I made the decision that I'm going in. I said, Lord, please don't let this be my last day. He spoke to WPTV in Palm Beach, said that the current was strong, but he says he believes that he was in the right place at the right time. He was able to swim to the man. He said, I tried to tell him, stay with me, stay with me. He saw me coming, and finally I reached out to him. I got a hold of him. I started trying to get him out, brought him back to shore, and then he realized that there were other people out in the water who were still struggling. He said, I turned around. There were two more people further in, and he said, oh, my goodness. He said, so I grabbed both of them, and I just took them out of the water. Those are two teenagers, and first responders soon arrived afterwards. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office says a total of five people were rescued. Sounds, again, at least three of them by Carrera. And he says, you know, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't jump into the water. If it happens again, I will do it again. I'm glad and grateful that Mr. Carrera was there and was able to act to save others. I will say this. When you're dealing with, you know, a really strong riptide current, it doesn't matter if you're a good swimmer. I mean, if you are not experienced in how to get free of a riptide, you can go out to save somebody and you can find yourself in trouble too. So I'm very grateful that that did not happen to Fernando Carrera, that again, he was in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing to save the lives of several strangers. But that was a dangerous undertaking. Make no doubt about it. And I am glad that he apparently had the knowledge to keep himself safe while protecting others. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. The rain is coming down. I don't even know if you can hear it in the microphone here, but it is a rainy day in Central Virginia. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow as we cover the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And, you know, I'm hitting the road for the first time in several years. I'm going to be in Boxborough, Massachusetts for the Gun Owners Action League 250th dinner, commemorating the anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord. That's coming up on Saturday, April 19th. You can get more information at gold.org. Tickets for the dinner are going fast, so you want to act soon. But if you are a Second Amendment supporter, and if you're watching or listening to this program, then pretty clearly you are, and you are a history buff, there's really no better place to be than in Massachusetts on April 19th. For the 250th anniversary of Lexington and Concord. And really, I would say no better place to be that night than in Boxborough, Massachusetts for this Gun Owners Action League dinner. All kinds of great guests. Colonel Alan West going to be there. Doug Hamlin from NRA. Adam Kraut from Second Amendment Foundation. Toby Leary from the Civil Rights Coalition. Dick Heller's going to be there. Obviously, I'll be there. It's going to be a great evening with a lot of fantastic folks, and I would love to see you there. If you can't make it up to Massachusetts, then hopefully you can make it down to Atlanta the following week, where the NRA annual meeting will be taking place. I will be there along with Bearing Arms contributor Tom Knighton. In fact, we will be set up and doing interviews in booth 665 as part of the Voices of the Second Amendment in Atlanta. So you can come by, say hello. We will be there on the ground. If I'm not there on set, Tom will probably be there on set. And if not, we'll be there in 15 or 20 minutes because we'll be floating around the show floor, but also doing, again, a lot of interviews. I'm getting my equipment together right now so that I've got everything in order whenever we get to Atlanta, but would love to see you there as well. So again, a couple of opportunities as Bearing Arms hitting the road. And again, hope we get to see you there in person, either in Massachusetts, Atlanta, or heck, why not both, right? All right. Have a great rest of your Monday, as good as Mondays can be. We'll see you back here for 2A Tuesday tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.